production.
From The Monthly and Listener, it's The Politics. I'm Rachel Withers, and today, soul searching. Anthony Albanese has been sworn in as Prime Minister and jetted off to Japan, following a brief press conference noteworthy for its inclusion of the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander flags. The new Prime Minister was sworn in alongside a skeleton interim ministry, with Albanese still to confirm his full front bench following two key losses on Saturday. But it's the leadership of the Liberal Party that is driving much speculation today, as the decimated party continues its recriminations. With Josh Frydenberg having lost his seat, the contentious Peter Dutton is now the frontrunner for the Liberal leadership, while former Home Affairs Minister Karen Andrews and trend-bucking Tasmanian MP Bridget Archer are being probed over their interest in becoming deputy. Although why are women only ever considered for second-in-command in the Liberal Party? The party is now having a public spat over whether it needs to move left or right, a ludicrous question given it was just whacked at the ballot box for its rightward lurch. Following a loss driven by the party's inaction on climate, women's issues and integrity, would the Liberals really be stupid enough to become more right-wing and to put Peter, water-lapping at your door, Dutton, at the helm? Arguments over what the Liberal Party should do next began before the election was even called, with both left and right immediately claiming vindication for their cause. Appearing on the ABC's election coverage and then again on Insiders the next morning, leading moderate Simon Birmingham called for a return to the centre, following it up with an op-ed this morning, noting that this was where the party had lost support. But the Murdoch media and other hard-right figures went the other way, rapidly arguing that the Liberal Party had drifted too far left and needed to go right, to forget the blue ribbon elite and appeal to conservative values in the outer suburbs. Never mind that this was exactly what Scott Morrison tried to do in this election, without success. Various moderates have today emerged to push back against this galaxy brain argument, including Moncrief MP Angie Bell, Sturt MP James Stevens, New South Wales State Treasurer Matt Keane, and even key Morrison defender Jane Hume. The outspoken Bridget Archer told RN Breakfast she would be resisting any rightward push and seemed open to running for deputy mostly as a means to stop that. Nationals leader Barnaby Joyce, meanwhile, has denied that his unpopularity is to blame for the Liberals' huge urban losses, boasting about the Nats holding all their seats. The Nationals don't have a problem, Joyce told reporters, choosing to ignore the fact that many independents and Greens ran successful campaigns, arguing that a vote for Liberal moderates was a vote for Barnaby Joyce. Joyce is reportedly facing leadership recriminations of his own. There's no doubt that the moderates have logic on their side here, but they certainly don't have the numbers, with their ranks having been massively diminished by Saturday's result. They seem to have accepted this when it comes to the leadership, and are now publicly and privately insisting that Dutton actually isn't so bad, with strong echoes of his wife's infamous "he is not a monster" comment. Peter's public perception is not always an accurate reflection of Peter's true stance, Birmingham told Insiders, no doubt hoping that another option could still eventuate. Meanwhile, anonymous MPs have pointed to Dutton's support of welfare and the fact he is less religious than Morrison to argue he could appeal to the middle ground. One MP who had been in contact with Dutton told Nine that he planned to take a sensible approach to policy, while another claimed that Labor would write him off as a crazy right-winger at their peril. On the contrary, the Liberal Party would be crazy to think that it can rewrite Dutton's record now. As a very freely speaking WA Premier Mark McGowan noted today, Dutton is seen as extremely conservative, an extremist who is deeply unpopular in the parts of the country that the coalition needs to win back. As incoming Kooyong MP Monique Ryan told the ABC this morning, Dutton would obviously not play well in Kooyong. It could be that he becomes an interim leader, a crash test dummy, as journalist Samantha Maiden put it. But the idea put forward by Sky News host Rowan Dean that there will be a Dutton-led government by 2025, which would include the party's clearly repudiated anti-trans Warringah candidate, is utterly fanciful. The Liberals could choose, if they want, to listen to News Corp here, to double down and go full Donald Trump. But if Saturday's result is anything to go by, they would be among the only ones still listening to the Murdoch press. Elsewhere in politics, we're starting with our good opinion of the day. Incoming Indigenous Affairs Minister Linda Burney has offered to work with whoever the Liberal leader is on implementing the Uluru Statement from the Heart, even if it's Peter Dutton, whom she generously noted regrets walking out on the apology to the Stolen Generations. As she told RN Breakfast, "I issue once again this morning a hand across the aisle to whoever the new leader of the opposition is." And in today's bad opinion, former Education Minister Alan Tudge comes out of hiding to blame Labor for the destruction of the Prime Minister's reputation, telling Sky News the Labor Party aggressively tried to destroy the Prime Minister's reputation. In the process, Tudge conveniently ignored the impact his own conduct and the Prime Minister's insistence that he would return to the ministry may have played. Talking numbers, and the swing to Labor in Western Australia is currently sitting at a massive 10.7%. Former Attorney General Michaela Cash admits the coalition was hurt by its support of Clive Palmer's legal challenge to the state's hard border. And in today's policy, Prime Minister Anthony Albanese and Foreign Minister Penny Wong will take a package of Southeast Asia policies and stronger climate action to the Quad meeting in Tokyo tomorrow. And in today's episode of 7am, almost a decade of Conservative government in Australia has ended. Votes are still being counted, but it looks like the coalition has suffered its worst result in decades. The Greens, Independents and minor parties have had historic wins and will wield significant power in the new parliament. But the government will be led by Anthony Albanese, Australia's 31st Prime Minister, and it's something even he didn't think was possible just a few years ago. So how did it all come together? How did Labor react on the night? And while they have won government, are there big lessons in this result that the party will have to take on board? Today, Chief Political Correspondent for the Saturday Paper, Karen Middleton, goes inside Labor's election night party, at the moment it won victory. Listen to 7am now on the Listener app. And that is the politics for Monday, May 23rd. Subscribe to The Politics on the Listener app to hear new episodes as soon as they drop. And head to themonthly.com.au to subscribe to The Politics newsletter, delivered straight to your inbox every weekday afternoon. I'm Rachel Withers, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow.